Revelations chapter 7. The word lamb is used in just over 100 verses, beginning from Genesis all throughout Scripture to the book of Revelations. There are also many different references, such as firstling, as in the firstborn of a flock of sheep, and many others. The word lamb is used 59 times in the first four books alone, most of them being in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, as the Lord was giving Israel the law. But what I find most interesting is the fact that the reference the lamb is used 29 times alone in the book of Revelations. Now, we don't have time to look at each one at each place it is used, but if you're with me here in chapter 7, we can get a pretty good idea of why the lamb is spoken of from cover to cover. Beginning at verse 9 of chapter 7, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of a great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor heat any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Now, if you would turn over to John, the book of John, chapter 1. My title for this afternoon's message is Behold the Lamb of God. It is my intention to bring a message that the Lord may use to prepare our hearts for coming to the table of remembrance. But first, we must clearly understand who this Lamb is that we read about in Revelations. You cannot be any more clear than right here in John chapter 1, verse 29. Oops, wrong book. I was wondering why it wasn't a 29 there. Verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We also see in verses 35 and 36 of the same chapter, "And again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." Amen. This Jesus that we see John talking about here is the very Lamb that is spoken of in Genesis 28:8, where Abraham says to his son Isaac, they've gone to the mountain, they have the fire, they have the wood, and Isaac says to his father, "Father, where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" And his father Abraham says, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." This lamb is also called the Word, as we see in verse 1 of chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." And then we see in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see very clearly that this one that is called the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been here since the beginning, God Almighty in the flesh, created all things, he who is manifest in the flesh, we see it is Jesus Christ, the Lamb. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But let's look at the beginning, shall we? To see where the first symbol, or the first type, as you may say, this Lamb might be seen. Turn to Genesis chapter 2, if you would, please. And Lord willing, we may also see why this Lamb must be the sacrifice that taketh away the sins of the world, as stated in John 1:29. Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge and good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. This is God's commandment to people. This is God's commandment to Adam and Eve, right off the bat. Do not do this. For in the day that you do, you shall surely die. In verse 25 of that same chapter, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. That's their state. That was their nature before they went against God, before they fell in unbelief. That was their state. Naked and unashamed. Chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verses 4 through 7, we see the fall of man, the unbelief. They did not believe God when he said you would surely die. No. Isn't that the basis for all sin? Unbelief? Do we not say, no, we know how to do it better? Notice that they sowed fig leaves, the works of man, trying to cover up their sin. But it did no good. Chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats and skins and clothe them. First blood, the shedding of blood. God took an animal, and we don't know what kind, but I'm pretty sure it was an example to Adam and the rest of mankind, an example of the sacrifices to come. And we'll see that in a moment. But God took the animal, shed the blood, so that he could clothe them. Just as God took his son and shed his blood so that he could clothe us. Verses 22 and 24 of the same chapter. 22 through 24. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat of it and live forever after. Therefore the Lord God sent him, speaking of man, forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east end of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So we see not only did man, the fall of man, bring sin into the world, but our Lord cast them out of the garden for it. They could no longer be in the presence of Christ. They could no longer reach forth and touch the tree of life. He put them out, cursing them and cursing the ground that they walked on. Now turn over to chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Let's see the first clear, absolute, without question reference to the lamb slain as a sacrifice. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Catch this. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Notice again, we see the works of men. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings, the lamb, the firstling of his flock, and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Why? Why would the Lord have respect unto the offering of a lamb, a sacrifice of a lamb? Because it's a picture. It's a picture of the one who sacrificed himself for us. It's a picture of the one who we remember when we come to the table. But unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Verse 14. I jumped a little bit too far forward there. So we see in God's word a very clear picture of the fall of man, which continues till the day of his second coming, and the price of that fall. Spiritual death, the separation from God, a holy and righteous God, as Pastor Gene brought out in his message a little while ago. We sin because we are sinners. Our nature fell in Adam. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sin, unable to seek after God, unable to take of the tree of life. And there is no remission of sin without blood. And so God instructed by example the sacrificial lamb. God rejected the offering of Cain because it was the works of man. There can be no works with grace. It is either grace or it's nothing. Abel's, on the other hand, was a symbol of the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who was yet to come as a man. The Word was made flesh. The one who laid down his life and shed his blood for the sins of his people that are spread throughout time in every nation of every tongue. We read in Hebrews 10:4, though, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. There is only one who can take away the sins of the world, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord, the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, as we read in Revelations 13:8. That means, think about this, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, before time began, before the world was even created, that means that our Lord and Savior was seen as the slain Lamb of God before anything else was. God the Father chose His people and He gave them to His Son, knowing that His Son would come as a man born of a virgin, without the fallen seed of man, but of the Spirit, holy and without blame, walking perfectly before God, establishing a perfect righteousness. Why? Because He's God in the flesh. All things must be perfect with Him. He gave this people to His Son knowing that He, the Son of God, would have to be made sin for them. He gave this people to His Son knowing that He would have to turn His back on His only begotten. Knowing that the very ones He created would beat Him, would spit upon Him, would stab Him, would mock Him, and then cruelly, cruelly crucify him, hanging him from a tree. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Yes, sir.
God gave this people to his son knowing that his son would pay the price in full, knowing that his son would pay it to the uttermost. This is why this Jesus that's preached from most pulpits today that says he loves everybody, this is why it's such a false teaching. If Jesus loved everybody, then nobody would die. This Jesus that we read about in scriptures, this Lamb of God, he paid it to the uttermost, perfectly,
amen,
removing their sins from his sight forevermore. As far as the east is from the west, our Lord uses as a description of it. That means he can't see it at all. No matter how far he turns around, he can't see it. And here's why God Almighty knew that these things would come to pass. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit are of one mind.
Amen.
There is only one God, and all the fullness thereof dwelleth in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship the Son, and you worship the whole blessed Trinity.
Amen.
Worship the Lamb on his throne, because he's on his throne, for death could not hold him. You see, the only sacrifice that could satisfy God's justice, the only sacrifice was the one of his only begotten Son. Salvation is of the Lord. Behold, not this book, but the words that are in it. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But I tell you now, do not fall for this other Jesus, this one that we were warned about in the book of Jude. You don't need to turn there, but in verse 1, verse 4 of chapter 1, actually there's only one chapter, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old, ordained to this condemnation.
Yes, sir.
Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying. Did you catch that? Denying. That's what free willism is. It's denying the power of God. It's denying God Almighty in Jesus Christ. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not.
Yes, sir.
This one who has power over all, but withholds his power over man's so-called free will, that Jesus is a failure. And all who believe on that one call the true Lord of Scripture, a liar. Pastor Gene brought out earlier the potter.
Yes, sir.
For all men are as clay, and the God of heavens rules just as the potter rules the vessels, making one vessel unto mercy and another unto destruction. Turn over to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would please. Our brother Steve covered this same section in this morning's devotion, and I knew he was going to, but I couldn't find any place better to bring this message to a close. You see, the Lamb who rules over all things, he has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and who is man to question the works of God? I ask you now, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. This Lamb who rules over all things, this Lamb who sits on his throne, as we read in Revelation 7, this Lamb that everyone, a magnitude of people that you could not count, bowed down and worshiped. This Lamb that we come to worship every Sunday. This Lamb that we pray to without ceasing. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit of unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which is by the gospel preached unto you. The gospel, the good news. Christ came to save sinners, of who I am chief. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Pastor?
Amen, John. Amen.